Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 5, Text 2. Yad Rupam Yad Adishtanam Yata Shristam Idam Prabho Yat Samstam Yat Param Yachcha Tat Tatvam Vada Tatvataha Yad Rupam Yad Adishtanam Yata Srishtam Idam Prabho Yat Samstam Yat Param Yachcha Tat Tat Vam Vada Tat Vataha Yad Rupam Yad Adishtanam Yata Shristam Idam Prabho Yat Samstam Yat Param Yatscha Tat Tat Vam Vada Tat Vataha Yad Rupam Yad Adishtanam Yata Shristam Idam Prabho Yat Samstam Yat Param Yatscha Tat Tat Vam Vada Tat Vataha Yadadishtanam Yata Srishtam Idam Prabho Tat Tat Vam Vada Tat Vataha Yad Rupam Yadadishtanam Atatintam Tat Prabho Tat Tat Vam Vada Tat Vataha Yad Rupam Yad Adishtanam Yata Srishtam Idam Prabho Yata Vidam Ram Tat Sha Tat Tat Vam Vada Tat Vataha Vaishnavis. Yad Rupam Yad Adishtanam Yata Srishtam Idam Prabho Yat Samstam Yat Param Yatscha Tat Tat Vat Alvat Vataha Rupam Yad Adishtanam Yata Srishtam Idam Prabho Param Yatscha Tat Tat Vam Vada Tat Vataha Rupam Yad Adishtanam Yata Srishtam Idam Prabho Yat Samstam Yat Param Yatscha Vam Yad Rupam Yad Adishtanam Yatashvastami dam prabho. Yat samstam yat param yatsha. Tat tat pam vada tat fataha. Yat what? Rupam. The symptoms of manifestation. Yat what? Adishtanam. Background. Yataha. From where? Shrishtam. Created. Idam. This world. Prabho. O my father. Yat. In which. Samstam. Conserved. Yat. What? Param. Under control. Yet, what are? Cha and tat of this. Tatvam, the symptoms. Vada, please describe. Tatvataha, factually. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. My dear Father, please describe factually the symptoms of this manifest world. What is its background? How is it created? How is it conserved? And under whose control is all this being done? Purport. The inquiries by Narada Muni on the basis of factual cause and effect appear very reasonable. The atheist, however, put forward many self-made theories without any touch of cause and effect. The manifested world, as well as the spirit soul, is still unexplained by the godless atheist through the medium of experimental knowledge, although they have put forward many theories manufactured by their fertile brains. Contrary to such mental speculative theories of creation, however, Narada Muni wanted to know all the facts of creation in truth and not by theories. Transcendental knowledge regarding the soul and the supersoul includes knowledge of the phenomenal world and the basis of its creation. In the phenomenal world, three things are factually observed by any intelligent man: the living beings, the manifest world, and the ultimate control over them. The intelligent man can see that neither the living entity nor the phenomenal world are creations of chance. The symmetry of creation and its regulative actions and reactions suggest the plan of an intelligent brain behind them. And by genuine inquiry, one may find out the ultimate cause with the help who knows them factually. Om Gyanatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, in the verse and the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions creation, created, mentions the word creation several times in the purport. So, we are creationists. And the world of science today, that's considered like a curse word. You have to be called a creationist. It means something bad to them. I mean, sometimes they'd call me a creationist. But I accept the designation because that's what the Srimad Bhagavatam says. You know, sometimes they would call me a Vedic creationist. Or, you know, there was one scientist who reviewed our book, Forbidden Archaeology, in one scientific journal. But he was actually respectful. He said, "This book represents something perhaps not seen before. We can fairly call it Krishna creationism with no disrespect intended." So I accept that label. I'm a Krishna creationist because that's what's actually being stated here. This world has a cause. And that cause is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who we know by the name Krishna. Ishvara Parma Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. So, the Supreme Controller is Krishna. That's who the Ishvara or Controller is, according to the Brahma Samhita. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Srila Prabhupada is making the point here that everything material or spiritual has a cause. So he's several times saying in the purport, "The inquiries by Narada Muni on the basis of factual cause and effect." He's always mentioning not just the effects, which is what the scientists many times are simply talking about. They see the effect. They see the phenomenal world. But they don't know the actual cause. Sometimes they say there is no cause. It's like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, "Asatyam apratishtam te jagat ahur anishvaram." So they say that, you know, the world is without any cause, there's no Ishvara, there's no, no, there is a cause. Of course, sometimes they say, if you bring up to them, yes, there is a cause, God. And then they say, but who caused God? You know, they think they've got you. But in the Brahma Samhita verse says, "Anadir Adir." Krishna is the cause of all causes, Sarva Karana Karanam. But if you want to say, well, then who's his cause? Who was before Krishna? That verse also answers it. Although Krishna is Adi, he's the origin of everything, he's un-Adi. He's got no origin. So that's where it stops. The buck stops there with Krishna. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out here, you know, they have no explanation for the cause of the whole materially manifest cosmos. Neither do they have an explanation for the existence of consciousness, which is a symptom of the soul. After so many theories, Srila Prabhupada is mentioning, they still don't have these facts. And that's because they rely simply on the experimental path of knowledge. And that experimental path of knowledge is based on sense perception and logic. But all of the senses are limited and imperfect. And the mind that we use for logic can make mistakes, become illusioned, cheat, or become the victim of cheating. It happens all the time. So you can never ultimately get at the absolute truth by that method. Maybe it's possible, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, if you actually do it in the proper way, which Srila Prabhupada mentions here. He says at the end of the purport, he says, the symmetry of creation and its regulative actions and reactions suggests the plan of an intelligent brain behind them. And by genuine inquiry, one may find out the ultimate cause with the help of one who knows them factually. So one who knows the symmetry of creation and its regulative actions and reactions. If you know them properly, if you actually were able to study them without any bias or prejudice, then eventually you'd be led to the idea there's some intelligent brain behind this. It's like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bahunam Jamanamante, Gyanavan Mam Prapadante, Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Sa Mahatma Sadurlabaha. Means after many, many births, you know, the Gyani, you know, someone who's just trying to figure it all out. After many, many births, you know, they may come to the position of understanding there is Vasudev, some intelligence behind it. But and Krishna says such a soul is very rare that can do it like that. So we just take the shortcut, the descending path of knowledge. We just accept the fact that with our own limited minds and intelligence and limited and imperfect senses, we're never really going to figure it out. So better just accept there is a supreme intelligence, a supreme conscious being who is the source of everything, like Krishna says, aham sarvasya prabhavo, matah sarvam pavartate. Everything is coming from me. And he's also capable of giving knowledge about how he does that to us, as much as we're capable of understanding. So Krishna gives that knowledge in Srimad Bhagavatam, the other Vedic literatures, of which the Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence. So we take that, and in that way, as we're going to see, you know, Narada Muni is putting these questions and he's going to get the answers. So I'll stop there. Any?
How would you respond to this question if it's coming from somebody who is, you know, educated, at least superficially appearing non-envious? They say, well, okay, so how is your process for acquiring knowledge any different from blind faith? You're just accepting all these things axiomatic truths, that Krishna is the origin of everything and all these facts and figures and details. How is it any different from just having blind faith?
Because like Srila Prabhupada says here, the symmetry of creation and its regulative actions and reactions suggest the plan of an intelligent brain behind them. And by genuine inquiry, one may find out the ultimate cause. So that means if you look very, very carefully, you'll see that today, the material scientists and philosophers and others, they haven't really given the actual cause, ultimate cause of all causes. And they'll admit that. You know, if you look in the scientific literature, you'll see they'll admit the origin of life is currently unexplained. It's an unexplained topic in biology. That's just a fact. Nobody has any explanation for it. So, why then rule out the possibility that there might be some intelligence behind the whole thing? The origin of consciousness. No one has explain the origin of consciousness from brain chemistry. They may say we're working on it. They may say that's what we think is the answer, but they haven't really done it. So you can, it's possible on a certain level to say, if you really look at things, you'll see you're not going to get very far like that. So there may be other ways of getting this knowledge. And for your consideration, my dear intelligent human being, here's a possible source, the Bhagavad Gita. Something like that. I think that's what Srila Prabhupada intended Bhaktivedanta Institute to do, present things like that. So, something else? Yes?
I participate in an online discussion. It's a place called Quora. Anybody's free to join. And this comes up frequently, and like you said, they say, well, who caused God? So then you have to introduce the concept of eternality. That life is eternal, and there's a supreme living being who is also eternal. And then you have to explain to them what eternality means. Always existed in the past, existing now, and will always exist in the future. And whenever I interject that, they can't say no. How can you say no to that? No, there's nothing eternal. Then you have to explain, ultimately, where everything is caused from. You can't have an unlimited regression of cause and effect, as is being mentioned in today's verse, cause and effect. You can't have an unlimited regression of cause and effect. There has to be an original cause. You can't just keep going back, this was caused by that, it was caused by that, back, ad infinitum. It can't work. It doesn't work mathematically or any other way. There has to be an original source of everything. And for that original source to be original, it has to be eternal. It has to always have existed. Otherwise, again, it wouldn't make sense. Who caused that and who caused that? So an intelligent person, as is being discussed today, has to accept an original, irreducible cause of everything. Now you have to discuss, is it material or spiritual? But you have to accept that concept of an irreducible cause of everything. Nothing can go beyond that.
Yes, that's true. But even Krishna can't convince everybody. Yeah, everybody has their free will. I mean, out of our mercy, we may give them that chance. I mean, we distribute the holy name, Bhagavad Gita. We give people the opportunity to directly come to the proper conclusion. But if they're still, they got some intellectual doubts, out of mercy and compassion, we'll try to explain to them. But ultimately, everyone has their freedom. And they have to live with the result of of the choices they make. Svabas.
That they can't really understand that everything in this material world has a creation to it. In other words, you have a father, I have a father, mother. I mean, just taking the basic principle of that, and you go down the line, everybody has come from some living entity, those of us that are living. You know, and then also, how can they not understand that if you take some rock, and that rock can be there for a billion years, but nothing ever living comes out of it. I mean, what is so difficult about just to understand that basic little principle?
Causeless unwillingness to do so.
Okay, so that's the answer, you're right. But I'm just, it's phenomenal to me how someone with a scientific brain, someone who's intellectual, who's, you know, so much education, that they can't accept a simple fact that life comes from life.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, isn't it?
It's bewildering. And they've never seen anything in this lifetime come out of a rock. Even 1,000 years ago, if it did, somebody would have told us that they saw some manifestation out of a rock.
Yes.
So, it's just on that principle itself. And then, you know, you take a look at the sun, the symmetry of the sun is such, it comes up, you can, you know, put your clock to it, and you can tell exactly when it's going to set, it's going to rise. There's so many phenomenons in the material world that just scream personality, controller. And I just get so, you know, whatever, frustrated that someone can't accept that little simple, stupid little.
Yeah,
that was just
well,
a comment.
Well, out of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, you know, he flooded the world with prema bhakti. But unfortunately, some people were still running away. Krishnadas Kaviraj explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita, although Lord Chaitanya unleashed a flood of mercy that drowned the whole world, two categories of people ran away, wouldn't be caught in his net of bhakti. And those were the impersonalists, Srila Prabhupada said, and the Paduya Adamas, the lowest of the student class. By which he meant, you know, the so-called philosophers, academics, and others. You know, so to catch them, you know, he would sometimes discuss philosophy with them, try to convince them. Mostly he was performing Sankirtan, chanting the holy names of the Lord, teachings of the Gita and the Bhagavatam, prasadam, festivals, rathayatras. But, you know, for this other category, you know, he would, you know, sometimes sit with a Mayavadi impersonalist philosopher and discuss with them. Or with the Buddhists or with others of that category. But still, some may escape. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.